Welcome to the final Wahoo Central podcast of 2015. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. And my guest at the McHugh Center for this special holiday edition is Steve Garland, who's in his 10th season as head wrestling coach at his alma mater, the University of Virginia. Steve, I hope you and your family had a very Merry Christmas. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. We did. I appreciate you having me.
So the average college student goes home for the holidays, loads up on mom's cooking, eats a bunch of sweets, gains weight, gets out of shape. Your guys do not have that luxury, do they?
No, and they're not supposed to be doing that when they go home. Yeah, you know, I think so basically we stop our double session practices on the 22nd, and they come back on the 27th, the night of the 27th. We have practice on the 28th, so we technically have 6 days off that we give them. But when they're home, these guys actually love going home, obviously to see their families and such, but also because they get to train at their high schools and be the man again, right? And no one in our room's the man, but when they go home, they are the man. They get to go and be the big show when they go back home. So they actually get good training in when they're home. As far as their diet, I can't attest to that. But right now it's looking like everything's pretty good so far.
Your guys head to Chattanooga, Tennessee this weekend for a marquee tournament, the Southern Scuffle. Then your dual meet season resumes next week. You've already wrestled North Dakota State, Minnesota, ODU, Ohio State, which is the defending NCAA champion, so your schedule has been brutal so far. Do you have a good read on your team at this point? And if so, you know, where do things stand with kind of where the team is as opposed to where you wanted it to be?
Well, just to build off what you said, I want to reiterate, the schedule, we're really proud of what we were able to fight through. It was the toughest schedule in the history of the program. Brutal is a great way to put it, because not only did we have all those nationally ranked teams that you mentioned, every team you mentioned is nationally ranked when we wrestled them. On top of that, we wrestled three tournaments. So we had six dual meets and three tournaments, just pretty much in a five-week span. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy schedule. So we feel like what it did was it battle-tested our guys. It got them exposed to some of the best competition in the country, especially the Vegas tournament to end with, which is, this is the number one tournament in the country we're going into, and I would argue that Vegas is probably the second best tournament in the country, right? Number two. So I think we're in really good shape because of that. But then I also thought we did a good job as a staff of taking our foot off the gas in December and giving them their bodies a rest and their minds a rest, but also, oh, by the way, heaven forbid, letting them dig into their finals, and because they're students first. And so I've made the mistake of having guys worry about competition after finals, and I didn't want to do that this year. I just didn't think it was the right thing to do to our team. So I hope we're both mentally and physically ready to go after a nice little layoff before we hit the grind again, because as brutal as the first semester was, now the second semester is just as crazy.
Your first dual meet after the scuffle will be on Friday, January the 8th against VMI in Richmond at St. Christopher School. I know in years past, Tech and UVA would wrestle in Richmond. How did this come about?
Well, I'll be totally honest. Ross Jatomer, who's the head coach at St. Chris, is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers that I've ever had the pleasure to coach. I love him. I love his family. He's always been one of my just all-time favorite guys, and he called me up and said, Coach, I think we need to do this again. I would love it if you guys would consider it. And I'll be honest with you. The reason why we stopped doing it with Tech is because our home matches started becoming so great with those guys, and they're selling out. We're packing the house when they come. So we just couldn't give that up as a home event. It wasn't that we didn't want to go to Richmond and do it. With this, it was an opportunity. VMI wasn't coming to us anyway, so it was a chance for us to wrestle an in-state team away, and also do a solid for a guy who I think is phenomenal for our sport in Ross Jatomer. So it's just, and oh, by the way, we have tons of alumni. Just friends of the program that are in that area that I think are going to be excited to see us there, and I love their school and what they're doing. So I think it's a win-win for everybody, for us, for VMI, for the donors, everybody.
Your first ACC home dual meet is January 22nd against Duke. Back in the fall, I talked to our volleyball coach, Dennis Hohenschelt, about the improvements at MIM Gym and how they helped his program. Do those upgrades, how do they affect wrestling, and will it be a better atmosphere, just a better kind of situation for fans at MIM Gym this year than in the years past?
Sure. I think it's going to be huge for us. And thank you, Dennis, and thank you to his people who included wrestling in that updates in the renovation, because it's big for us. When you walk in there, and I've seen the graphics, I've seen a preview of what they're going to look like. They're going to be beautiful. The new bleachers, just the setup, the feel in there, the fans. I never thought in a million years that those big fans would make that much of a difference, but it does. Those old fans were prehistoric, and now to get the new ones in there, I think we're just excited to have a much more streamlined venue, and I think it can't hurt us. It can only help us.
Virginia is the defending ACC champion. To my untrained eye, the league appears absolutely loaded this season. Six ACC teams are ranked in either the intermat dual meet or tournament poll, if not both. And two of those teams, Virginia Tech and NC State, are in the top 10 right now.
Yeah.
Is this the strongest from top to bottom the league has been since you've been here as head coach?
Oh, definitely. A couple of years ago, I remember talking to Swanson, Coach Swanson, about how insane the ACC soccer competition is. And he was like, Steve, every team's ranked in the top 10. It's crazy. And I remember thinking, wow, that's so cool. Well, now here we are in the ACC. NC State's ranked third or fourth. Tech's ranked sixth or fifth or sixth. Who else? North Carolina's ranked 10th.
Right.
Or 11th. We're ranked 15th. Pitt's ranked 16th right behind us.
Duke is
ranked 20th or whatever. Yeah. So every team's ranked. So now we're in that situation. And, man, how cool is that? I mean, it's scary. It's not like it used to be where you're like, ACC schedule, we're sort of peaking for ACCs. Now it's every single weekend's a war. And every weekend, not only is the competition so stiff, the venues, the turnouts, the crowds are crazy everywhere you go. I think all our home matches are going to be completely packed to the brim. So it's really exciting time for ACC wrestling, and recruits are catching on to that. Recruits know now that the ACC is the real deal, and so that's helping us. It's certainly not hurting us.
And that means it should be a wide open ACC tournament, which
once again
is back in Charlottesville this year on Sunday, March the 6th, and that's at John Paul Jones Arena, right?
Correct. That's correct.
So when you have that many good teams, the points get split more. And
sure.
Every match matters, maybe even more than it would already. You've talked many times about the importance of producing All-Americans, how important that is to a program. You were one yourself when you wrestled here. It looks like the three leading candidates for All-America honors on this year's team are George DiCamillo at 133, Andrew Atkinson at 157, Zach Nye at 197. Could you talk a little bit about those guys and kind of where they are individually, and if I'm overlooking somebody?
Well, sure. The first thing, I'm glad you brought that up about how important the All-American thing is for our program, and just to make sure the people listening understand what that means. In some sports, you get voted in, or there's some sort of a poll, or there's a ranking. In wrestling, you have to go to a tournament. There's 33 guys at the national championship. You have to find a way to win all these matches and get on the podium. That's how you become an All-American.
That's top eight finish, right?
Right. And the reason why I define that is because, think about that. You could be 30-1 and rank second in the country. Or heck, let's just say this: you could be the number one guy in the country and go have a bad day, go 2-2, and not place and not be an All-American. So it comes down to one. It comes down to one tournament, a three-day tournament that's 15,000 people, completely sold out, Madison Square Garden. Think about the pressure there. And so it's really, really hard to do. I just want to make sure I qualify that. So the guys you mentioned, Georgie DiCamillo right now is coming off a third-place finish at the best tournament, one of the best tournaments in the country in Vegas. He beat the fourth-ranked guy in the country 13-3 and just looked amazing each round. He's a guy that's been the All-American round twice. So there you go. There's the heartbreak. He's been there twice and lost both times to great kids. And so it hasn't placed yet, and so we feel like, yes, I mean, hopefully this is going to be the year for him to do a lot of great things. Andrew Atkinson is the guy we think is one of the most mentally tough kids we've ever coached, and he really caught fire at Vegas. He beat a bunch of nationally ranked guys. It was one of his breakout tournaments, lost in the third, fourth place match in a last-second takedown. He was right there to take the bronze. We just think he's already beaten Cody Pack from South Dakota State. It's one of his big wins this year, who's number one seed at the Midlands tournament. I think he's ranked eighth in the country right now. So he's shown that he can be right there. And Zach Nye's been there for years. And so those guys, yes, we definitely have high expectations for. Another guy we talked a little bit about off the record is Nick Herman's a guy who went out to Vegas and lost to the seventh-ranked guy in the country in overtime and was right there to win the match. So he's competed at a very high level for a long time. He's been to nationals twice already. He's beaten nationally-ranked guys. So, I mean, there's more guys to mention, but I would say that those are some of the guys that have sort of been there, done that. And so, yeah, I think we all have high expectations.
I think I saw a video interview with Zach Nye before the season when he talked about he's always been just very solid fundamentally. He wanted to be more explosive offensively, score more points. He was a guy who would typically win 2-1, 3-2, mm-hmm. something like that. Has he succeeded in kind of adding that to his, you know, his repertoire?
He's gotten better for sure. I mean, it's getting there. He's definitely shooting a lot more than he ever has. He's added a couple different offensive weapons to his game, which was a huge action item over the summer. I mean, we spend, gosh, these guys spend a lot of hours on their own, going in and just trying to develop on their own. And that was the shot that he was working on, and it's gotten better. And so I definitely wouldn't say, yes, he's an offensive juggernaut now, but he's definitely way better than he was. And that's exciting for us because as a coach, honestly, this is going to sound really corny, but when you see your guy get better at a certain area, there's a nice warmth that comes over you when you see that, because ultimately we're supposed to be teachers. So when you see a kid learn something, it makes you happy.
Fans who have seen your videos that come out every week during the season or read your tweets have seen the phrase Virginia way or the Virginia way. For those who aren't familiar with that, how would you kind of summarize what that is and what it means for the program and what you're trying to do with that?
Sure. Well, a couple of years ago, I wanted our team to rally around the concept that you guys chose here for a reason. You guys chose the University of Virginia because you wanted to grow in all these other areas of your life, not just wrestling. And we need to be really mindful of that. And I know that kids in this age group, or anybody, any human being, needs a structure and they need a vision and they need something to be striving through. So I came up with mind, body, academics, relationship, servanthood, and compete in such a way. These different bullet point categories that they need to be striving for every day. And then Coach Lean had the great idea to take it to the next level and have a specific leadership committee that represents one of those pillars. So mind is Andrew Atkinson. Mm-hmm. Academics is Chris Yankovich, who's one of the best students we have. And body is, and we go from there. And so servanthood is Pat Gillen. And then we go and basically have a different guy that especially our younger guys could look to and say, that guy exemplifies what I'm supposed to be doing in this area of the program, in this specific category. Let's say compete in such a way. Nick Herman's a guy that goes out on the mat and it doesn't matter who he's wrestling. He's absolutely without question, not afraid of the guy. He's going to wrestle the same way against the 100th ranked guy in the country or the number one ranked guy in the country. That's pretty special. And so what does that look like? You say, hey, okay, Sam Kreavis, that's what it looks like right there. And so you have these tangible sort of guys that are lifted up that our team, especially the younger guys, can look to and say, that's what this is supposed to be.
You mentioned Sam Kreavis. He's part of a very talented first-year class. Before we talk about the guys who are redshirting, which is most of the members of that group, let's talk about the one true freshman in your starting lineup, Fox Baldwin. And for people who haven't seen his bio, it's incredible. He's a 5-time state champion in Florida. He holds national records for career wins and career pins. And his last 3 years, he went 162-0. At Virginia, he's 12-3. This season at 174, how has his adjustment been to college wrestling, and what's been the biggest challenge for him? He's probably never lost three times in a season.
Yeah,
you know, since his ninth grade year.
What an interesting, what a loaded question, because here's a guy that came out. And the match against the 15th ranked team in the country came down to him. And if he wins, we win the duel. If he loses, we lose. And he handles it and beats a guy who he had never beaten in his life. And so a guy that's a lot of pressure to put on an 18-year-old kid. And so you look at that background and you think, yeah, that's what he's supposed to be doing. Well, you still got to give him credit, because that's a lot of pressure on a young man at 18 years old. And so we were really proud of him for that. And I think that's been a really encouraging thing, how he loves those moments. He lives for those moments. And, you know, here in basketball, the stud wants the ball at the end of the match. So that's exciting for us to see with him. Now, that said, and again, referencing all his accolades, it's still college, and our schedule is crazy. So he wrestled the number one guy in the country and found out from Ohio State, found out, wow, that's a whole nother level. And that's what it's about the first year, is getting in there and banging heads against the best and getting better in and through that. And so we think he's had a great attitude, win or lose. We think he's really doing the right things in the room. I mean, he trains like a madman. So he got a 3.4 GPA last semester, so he's crushing it in the classroom. So he's been great. But as far as like where he goes from here, that's going to be, I don't have an answer to that, because we're going to see, right? We're going to see what happens at the scuffle. We're going to see moving forward. I believe in him. I think we're going to see a lot of great things. We're going to continue to see growth. What he's going to need to do the rest of the way is just make sure that every day he's getting better, incrementally better every single day. Be a continuous learner and incremental improver.
What about the guys in the class who are redshirting this season. I know there are other guys who probably could contribute this year, but it's not uncommon in wrestling to redshirt guys for the long term. Mm-hmm. Who else has impressed you in the first-year class?
Well, Sammy Krivas has been competing in everything. He's been doing fantastic. Gosh, he lost to the number three guy in the country from Penn State 5-3 as a freshman. And he was winning most of the match. Probably 75% of the match he was winning, and he got taken down and ridden out to lose. And so, I wasn't there, but I heard about it, and I heard it was a fantastic match. So that's really great. And he's placed in all the tournaments he's been to. He was in the finals of the Clarion Open to start the year, so he's been fantastic. Cam Harrell started off the year with a bang. He went 6-1, looked amazing at the first Open we went to, got a concussion, and he was sidelined for about 5 weeks. Concussions, obviously, as we all know, are very serious, so we had to shut him down. But now he's coming back healthy. He'll be at the scuffle. And then Tyler Love's another one that's really he started the year on and was that freshman getting smacked in the mouth the first couple tournaments, but he's been really rebounding well. He placed at the Penn State Open. He just wrestled 5 matches at the Wilkes Open unattached. He's wrestling tomorrow at the F&M Open, so he's just getting tons of matches. Really happy with him. Corbin Allen's had a knee injury, but he'll be coming off and wrestling tomorrow as well unattached. And yeah, so there's been a lot of good things that have come out of that class, yes.
You have, sometime in the past year, you joined Twitter.
Yeah.
At SteveGarland125.
Correct.
Your old wrestling weight.
Yeah.
125. What's been the, and there's also the UVA wrestling account, which is at UVA wrestling. What's been the response?
I hate to admit this out loud. Yeah. So I was so anti-Twitter and Facebook. I'm still taking myself off Facebook completely, you know. But the Twitter thing, I have to admit, it's been fantastic. Not only has it been a great tool to kind of express some things that I think are important, but also just follow along and see these other great ideas out there. I never thought in a million years, but that's where I get all my news from now. And that's where I get a lot of great ideas, and I get to follow other successful programs and leaders in this country and follow you, Jeff, and I get to do things like that. So, but I also think it's helped our program. As far as the response has been, I think I have 500 followers maybe, so that's probably embarrassing. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think there's other people in conference that have like triple that, so I think I need to get my game together and get more followers. So all the listeners out there, follow me.
Before I let you go, let me ask you about your coaching staff, guys who put in incredible hours, don't always get the credit from the public, at least, that they deserve. Jordan Lean, Keith Gavin, and your new volunteer assistant coach, Shelton Mack, mm-hmm. who fans might remember from his days as a Pitt wrestler,
right,
going against Virginia guys. I know you've mentioned to me several times that Jordan is really hitting his stride as a recruiter and kind of spearheading the recruiting effort here. Keith, I guess, sets up your training program. He's still competing, and you guys all rave about Shelton.
Yeah. Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head with all those. So Coach Lean right now is recruiting as we speak down the tournament in down south. He is a visionary. His gift is that he's extremely aggressive, and he has total confidence in himself and in our program. In other words, he believes we can get and continue to get the best guys in the country, and he's constantly pushing me to expand our boundaries and expand, you know, our goals. I mean, ultimately, I'll be honest with you, before he got here, you know, maybe I wouldn't have said our goal is to compete for a national title very soon, but now with him here and now with believing in the system, I believe we can. I believe that we can absolutely compete for a national championship, and so that's a goal, and I credit that all to him and his vision and his aggressiveness. Coach Gavin is the greatest technician I've ever been around. He just took third at the U.S. Nationals. He's a phenomenal wrestler. Every single guy in a room benefits from his practices, not just the structure but the technique he's shown, but oh, by the way, he's in there banging with the guys every day as well. And Coach Mack, just who Coach Mack is, he's the most likable human being you'll ever meet. And so him just walking in a room uplifts everybody. I mean, him in the office, Coach Gavin never smiles until Shelton walks in. So just for that alone, it's worth the price of admission.
Well, listen, thank you again for stopping by. I know you got a lot of balls in the air this time of year. Have a safe trip.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
With school not in session, the calendar is light for UVA athletics this weekend, but there are two important basketball games at JPJ. Saturday at 5 p.m., the fifth-ranked Virginia men open ACC play against Notre Dame. Sunday at 1 p.m., the women play their ACC opener against 22nd-ranked Miami. As 2016 approaches, remember to check virginiasports.com for updates and information on all our teams. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening and best wishes for a safe and happy new year.